And we're joined on The Scoop today by Colton Molesky, recapping the very eventful weekend for college football, recapping week 5, gearing up for week 6. Colton, my man, how's it going today?
Oh, not too bad. Crazy weekend of college football, though. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was, and you had a chance to go cover one of the big games this weekend, that being Stanford at Notre Dame. Let's start off by getting your reaction to how that experience went.
Well, just as far as being there in the stadium at all, was awesome. It was really amazing. I've been watching that game since I was a little kid, and so being there in person was a really cool experience. As far as the game itself, you really saw the problems of Stanford coming home to rest, especially their offensive line. They could not block anybody, and it really showed. They gave up 5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, a bunch of quarterback hurries. And then on the other side, just really, it was surprising because both sides, Stanford really got beat in the trenches. You had Dexter Williams, who came back off the suspension. He had 161 yards and a touchdown against Stanford, and they rushed for over 100 yards in this game. Ian Book actually looked really good. He impressed me because there were a couple times where they were actually able to get to him. Paulson Adebo really played well at corner and knocked down a bunch of passes from Book, and he wasn't shaken by it. He was moving around a lot, stayed on his feet, kept plays alive, and ended up beating Stanford 38-17 for a big win for Notre Dame.
Colton, looking at the rest of the slate of games, of course, one of the other big ones was Ohio State-Penn State, and Penn State had the lead for a good majority of the game, but I remember saying to a couple people I was watching the game with, why are they settling for field goals? That's not going to beat an Ohio State team, and, well, obviously it didn't. But the biggest thing that happened was the final play call for Penn State, in which they had, I think it was a 4th and 5. They run a draw. It gets stuffed and had most of the country kind of scratching their heads as to why Penn State would decide for that type of play in that type of situation. So what was your reaction to not only that call, but also how Penn State kind of tried to win that game despite not being able to get the ball into the end zone as much as they should have?
Well, you knew going into this one that the real strengths of these two teams were Trace McSorley, and the quarterback for Penn State, and then the defensive front of Ohio State. You knew those two things were going to be really good in this game. So I know going throughout a game, the chess master of a game, you kind of a coach sees things and he picks things out, and I understand that. But at the same time, it doesn't make sense that when you needed 5 yards to run a draw off the middle against that defensive front, no matter what success you were finding or what success you thought you were seeing earlier, it makes way more sense to put it in the hands of your quarterback, a guy who has won and it had so many walk-off touchdowns for you to win games. It makes way more sense to put the ball in his hands and get the ball in your best player's hands instead of putting it in the hands of a running back who'd have to trudge 5 yards up against one of the best defensive fronts in college football. So I was really confused by it. And as somebody who just was kind of pulling for Penn State anyways, I was a little upset because I wanted to see them bump off Ohio State. But it was really confusing because you knew going into this game what the Ohio State defensive line was capable of. And so to finish the game like that was just a little weird.
Yeah, I would agree for sure. Colton, any other games throughout the week 5 slate that you were keeping a close eye on, or that the results surprised you?
Well, how about Clemson Syracuse? Clemson nearly loses that game. They show up for like 6 minutes of this game to pull out a victory. I'm not sure if I should be impressed that Clemson can kind of sleep through a game and still win it, or if I should be impressed by Syracuse and how tight they played and be a little concerned for Clemson and maybe they're not kicking into gear. Also, LSU, Ole Miss, 45-16 win for LSU. This team is so much for real. And I know that they have to play Alabama, and I know that it's hard to get two teams from the same conference into the playoffs, but LSU, if you take Alabama out of college football, LSU might be the best team in college football right now.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good call because they have looked really, really good the entire season. So it'll be interesting to see if they can sustain that now at 5-0 on the year. But just looking at where we stand right now, of course, going to the college football rankings and looking at who moved the most. The biggest movers was Stanford dropping 7 spots to number 14. Biggest positive jump was Kentucky, who is 13th after a 5-0 start. Colton, looking at the rest of the week 6 rankings, any other surprises in terms of teams that are in or teams that should be in?
A pretty big jump for Ohio State. You see them moving up to 3, and you see Clemson. There's kind of the shift of the top teams. Clemson moving around a little bit, but it's kind of interesting where tight losses or tight wins to bad teams are forcing shifts in the rankings here. But you see Clemson move around a little bit. From 3 to 4 because of a 4-point victory to Syracuse, where Ohio State has a 1-point victory over Penn State, and they move up a little bit. Not impactful right now, but it will be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see if you come down to the end of the season, how many of those close games end up hurting a team like Ohio State or a team like Clemson. If you're winning close games to bad teams, will that affect if you ultimately get in the playoffs? If there is a team like LSU sitting at 5 who's beaten teams like Auburn, if they continue to beat up on SEC teams like Ole Miss and Texas A&M, is that enough to get them in over a team like Clemson who struggled with some bad ACC teams? It'll be interesting to see that just because you're already seeing some shifts when there is a close game.
Looking at the Heisman watch before we move to the Week 6 slate of games, and at least according to ESPN, it looks as though there's a new front runner for the Heisman, that being Alabama's quarterback, and I'm going to absolutely butcher his last name, so I think I'm going to even just neglect to try it. Kyler Murray of Oklahoma now down to 2nd. Will Greer of West Virginia is 3rd. How do you see things at this point in the season? Who's the front runner for the Heisman?
Well, I would say it probably is either Tua Tagovailoa or, like I was saying before, Cole McDonald is the quarterback I really like, even though he's from Hawaii, probably not going to get a ton of attention there. I would say that Will Greer, for me, is back on the radar as far as kind of a Heisman guy who maybe is in the 3rd or 4th spot. I thought that was a really good win over Texas Tech. That's a very good offense. And so to go, I know your defense has to play well to keep them to 34 points where they're averaging 52 going into that game. But to go in and to go up 28-7 in the first quarter really demoralized this team, really step on their throat right away from the get-go and not let them in this game at all right away from the jump. I thought it was super impressive. And he had 370 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. I just thought he looked dominant. He was throwing some real dimes, especially early in this game as well. And I was very impressed with this win. I think everybody should be looking out for Will Greer now. Just because to be able to beat them on Tennessee is one thing, but to go out and be up on a top 25 team, even if that team doesn't have an exceptional defense, I thought that was an impressive win, and especially the way he did it.
Colton, looking at the slates for Week 6, hard to believe we're already at that point in the year, but There will be a few big games. Texas taking on Oklahoma is certainly one of those big games. But just looking at the rest of the slate, what are some games that you will be keeping an eye on here this week?
LSU, Florida, I'll be watching that game. I want to see how LSU continues to play on the road against SEC teams. And that Florida is in ranked 22 in the country, so if they can grab another win against a ranked opponent on the road, that'll just keep adding to the resume and keep giving them more reasons why they should be in the top four. Like you mentioned earlier, Kentucky, 5-0 start. That hasn't happened in forever. They're playing Texas A&M. How can you not root for this Kentucky team? How can you not want them to do really well and watch Benny Snell Jr. Run all over the place with this Kentucky team? I don't know. They're a really fun, scrappy team. I've enjoyed watching them so far this season, and I would really like to see them beat Texas A&M. Another game that I'm watching, Washington-UCLA. This Chip Kelly team has to get a win here. 0-4, and I know it's going to be tough against the number 10 team in the country, but they've got to show some signs of life. The biggest surprise, I think, of the season is how bad UCLA is playing under Chip Kelly. Super surprised by that.
Colton, let's leave the people with your lock of the week. Who you got?
All right, so I'm going to go back. I'm going to go with Kentucky over Texas A&M. It just feels like one of those magic runs for them. They're running the ball really well. Benny Snell Jr. is doing an exceptional job taking advantage of some of the gaps. And this defense is playing super opportunistic. They're not always consistently getting stops, but they're holding teams in the red zone. They're able to grab turnovers. Again, they're not the best defense in college football or in the SEC, but they're very opportunistic. They're taking advantage of little things that other teams do poorly, and they're exploiting that to cause turnovers. I think that the advantage here they can take is Texas A&M. They're going to try and throw the ball all over them, and I think that you can try and trap the deep ball in some disguised two-man coverages, in some disguised double coverages. If they can get a turnover a couple times doing that, I think that this game kind of spirals out of control for Texas A&M.
Very good, Colton. Great stuff again here this week. We'll see how the slate plays out, and we'll see if your lock is true, and we'll break it all down with you again next week.
Thank you so much for having me on, Seth. Always a pleasure. Make sure to go check out all the college football content at SB Nation. You can check out my content at Road Tree and Conquest Chronicles, and there's so many more websites on SB Nation that you should check out. Great way to get prepared for Saturday. And thank you again so much for having me on the show. Always a pleasure.